Hello, I'm your host, Erin Gruwell, and welcome to the Freedom Writers Podcast. Today's episode is serious and somber. The following episode includes a candid conversation about suicide. While suicide is an important issue of community concern, we also understand that this content may be triggering. I encourage our audience members to prepare themselves emotionally before proceeding. It is our desire to talk openly, safely, and to lead people to seek help if needed. But if you believe that this emotional episode will be traumatizing for you, please forego listening to it and stay tuned for our upcoming episodes. If you or someone you know is suffering, remember, you are not alone. Help is available now by calling 988 or 1-800-273-TALK. Once again, 1-800-273-8255. The call is free and it is confidential. It is with great sadness that I inform our listeners that our Freedom Writer family has lost a beloved member. Alexi Rodriguez, whom we affectionately refer to as Lexi, tragically took her life. As a student author in our new book, Lexi penned her pain in the letter Perpetual Patient in Dear Freedom Writer. The loss of Lexi compelled us to create a safe space to discuss suicide, to encourage those who are struggling to seek help, and to increase factors that promote prevention. Lexi is and will continue to be a bright light in our Freedom Writer family. From our first Zoom meeting in the midst of the pandemic to our in-person gathering in Long Beach for our Dear Freedom Writer Symposium, Lexi was charismatic, kind, and compassionate. As a celebrated college student at Nassau Community College, she became a leader among the other student authors. Her wise words and her beautiful smile cemented Lexi in our hearts and in our minds. The legacy Lexi has left will never be forgotten. In this episode, I'm joined by six of our Freedom Writer family members who've each been touched by Lexi personally. We reminisce about the unforgettable moments we shared with Lexi. We process her passing, and we seek to turn our pain into purpose. We believe that suicide prevention is everyone's business. So ultimately, this episode is a call to action. Lexi has impacted us all, so this episode is raw and it is real. I hope in her honor that it will inspire you to take action for mental health awareness. Here is my loving discussion with members of my Freedom Writer family.
Hi, my name is Narada Comins, and I am an original Freedom Writer.
Hi, my name is Sue Ellen Alpizar, and I'm an original Freedom Writer.
My name is Megan Abruzzo, and I am a Freedom Writer teacher.
Hi, my name is Octavia Scott Cerezo, and I am a Freedom Writer teacher.
My name is Alex Puente, and I am a student author from Dear Freedom Writer.
I am Leilani Furman, and I am a student author from Dear Freedom Writer.
We are gathered here today for the urgency of now. Our Freedom Writer family has been rocked to its core. We're hurting, we're processing pain, and we are trying to live up to the legacy of a family member by the name of Lexi Rodriguez, who tragically took her life. So we're gathered here as writers and authors and activists, and we're gonna share her legacy, and we're gonna have a courageous conversation about mental health. And this podcast is gonna be a call to action, to not stand idly by. So I wanna start with you, Sue Ellen. You've had a journey with mental health, and can you tell our audience what that journey has been like for you personally as an original Freedom Writer, understanding the journey of mental health?
Yeah, my journey of mental health started when I was severely depressed. And the first time I tried to commit suicide was when I was 13 years old. And living life with depression and being institutionalized, being on medication, seeking treatment, going through experimental treatments. That has been part of my life since I was a child. So I started my mental health journey seeking help when I was in my 20s. And it has led me down this path in which I often feel alone. In reality, I'm not.
Narada, you are Sue Ellen's brother from another mother, and you've been in her life since you were in high school. And in high school students don't talk about mental health, and they clearly didn't at Wilson High in 1994 when you were a freshman. So as you have evolved as a brother, what has it been like for you to learn about fellow freedom riders who have struggled with mental health?
It's been about support. For me, this was my first time really seeing or experiencing people my age having these issues. So I had to find my place in it. But once I've learned that for me and for anybody else, it's always been the realm of support.
Megan, you are a high school teacher in New York, and you have had to deal with mental health since you began teaching high school students who truly struggled with their mental health. And Lexi has been your student since she was 14. So can you describe what it was like when Lexi walked into your world?
I was terrified. I started out teaching in a preschool, but after that preschool closed, they adjusted my position to be in high school. And all of the students have some type of mental health diagnosis. Lexi came to me in my second year there, and she scared the hell out of me. Her counselor pulled me aside and said, "You can't leave her alone. You got to watch every little up or down." And I was terrified. But having her in my homeroom, she has taught me more than I could teach anybody ever. Lexi would go into these kind of panic attacks where she would totally shut down. And you could see her breathing would become labored, and it was like she wasn't with you. And I didn't know what to do. I would panic. Do I hold her? Do I get her to the nurse? Do I contain her? What do I do? Because I'm like, you know, the warm and fuzzies where I want to rub your back or grab your shoulder. And after the panic attacks would subside, I would ask her flat out. And she said, you know, give me my space. And I still use that to this day. I still use those techniques. When I see a student struggling, I always offer that. What can I do for you? And I'm going to hold their hand and help them through it.
Octavia, you are an educator as well, a fellow English teacher. And what I love about both you and Megan, you are both mothers, and you both have a beautiful bond, both with the Rodriguez family and dear memories of Lexi. So how has this been for you to process this tragic, tragic loss that no parent and no educator ever wants to face?
It has been extremely difficult. I just met them during the symposium. We had an instant connection, and it was manifested more so because as we were talking, Nancy said where she was from, and I told her that my husband was from Red Hook as well. And, you know, they wind up actually knowing each other. So that created a, you know, a different relationship than that with just with the Freedom Riders. And Lexi, oh my God, she is such a blessing. We were having a party in my room one night, and we connected. She said that she asked me what kind of music I like, because I said, come on, let's put some music on. And I said, I like old school. And she was like, you don't know anything about old school. And we started joking, and she said, how about Sam Cooke? And I pulled out my phone because I had Sam Cooke on there from my aunt and my mother, who used to love Sam Cooke. And we sang all night. And it was, I almost felt like she was my daughter. And it was beautiful. And it's just heart-wrenching because we had planned on spending some time together this summer. So it's a loss that I haven't fully processed yet. You know, I keep seeing her face. I sent them a beautiful wall metal butterfly, and Nancy just got it today. So she sent me a thank you and saying that, you know, that she's taking it one day at a time. But for me, I will never, ever forget Lexi. And, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, her life, her legacy will continue through the Freedom Rider Foundation and all that we plan on doing in her honor.
Alex, at our book launch in the spring, our student authors go from elementary age to college age. And both you and Lexi were kind of the de facto captains of our student authors. There was a lot of phone calls I felt I need to personally make. And both you and Leilani, I told you personally about what happened with Lexi. And that was heart-wrenching and heartbreaking because I thought of you as one of my co-captains. So I'm so sad that we've lost one of our captains. But what has that been like for you receiving this information? And how have you felt about loving on all these other student authors who are trying to process and trying to understand something that doesn't make a lot of sense?
Lexi and I were two of some of the older ones in the group, and we noticed that weight that we carried. And I think we both took it with the responsibility of like supporting the younger students and authors with how we walked, with how we talked, with how we lived. And I think now more than ever, I think it's just something that has to be ever more amplified and checking up with, you know, each student. And I'm, you know, I read the group chats. Like, I may not respond all the time, but I'm always monitoring the group chats and, you know, making sure like, oh, you know, this person had a tough day. This person couldn't sleep. This student cried today. Or sometimes I join the Zooms with some of the other students and it's just enough to hear their voice and ask them how their day is and what they've been up to. So the mission hasn't changed, but the concentration maybe has.
Leilani, June 28th was your 13th birthday, and you are one of the youngest of our Freedom Rider family. And you and Lexi have been in communication. You and Lexi have traveled to see each other after the book was launched. And I think the common thought was, this is going to be the hardest call that any of us have to make. And so what was that like for you to receive that information when Lexi was still very vibrant and part of your memories?
Lexi was the first person who just opened her arms for me and told me, like, you are a part of this family. She made me really grateful, and she would, you know, text me every day, see how I'm doing, and she was always there. And, you know, when we all met each other, you wouldn't think that someone, like all of us, have struggled with so much until you read our stories, but it didn't change the way we thought about each other. And even after the symposium, she just seemed so happy that you would never think someone like her was struggling with so much. And when I heard the news, it doesn't seem real. And, you know, it's still tough for all of us. And to have this family is just really grateful, because from when we heard the news, we immediately thought of each other. And we immediately were on each other's phones texting, hey, are you okay? How's your day? Are you eating well? Are you sleeping well? Losing someone like Lexi really showed us that no matter how happy or how sad people are looking, they are struggling, and you need to like reach out to them whenever you can, because you don't know when it will be your last time talking to them.
Megan, you personally selected Lexi to be a part of this project, to be a part of this Dear Freedom Rider movement, and you knew what her story was going to be, and you nurtured her. And so how did you know, as an educator who has taught for years and had so many students, that Lexi had to be a part of this project and she had to write a story ultimately that was named Perpetual Patient, number 39 in the book?
Lexi stands out for the best reasons. She has overcome more than anybody I've ever met. And I say that present tense because I know that Lexi is here. She's an is, not a was. There's that passage about the starfish and the man who's throwing the starfish back into the ocean, rescuing them. And the visitor comes up and says, well, you can't save them all. And the man says, but I saved this one. And I kind of felt like Lexi was that one. Leilani, like you said, looking at her, you would never know. And I know Nancy and I could not believe she was so good. She was so solid. She had overcome so much. This kid had so much thrown at her. So I knew her story had to be told. The world needed to hear this bright, beautiful girl and the stories behind her. And it had to be told. It wasn't even a thought. It had to be told.
What I loved that Nancy, her mother, and David, her father, and Brianna, her sister, were able to hear at our service was that of all of the stories that were initially submitted for the book, Lexi's was near perfection. You know, our editor joined us and had nothing but praise for this author, this storyteller. And so that must make you feel good as an English teacher that your student not only shared her story, but did so with perfection.
When I first reached out to her about putting her story in here, she really struggled. She was afraid of reopening old wounds because she was doing so well. So I had asked her, you got to trust me on this. I promise you this is going to be something that changes your life. You know, this is going to be a family you don't even know you have. And before we had even given it to you guys to kind of look over and hash through, we had gone through draft after draft. I mean, she would send me stuff, but it was perfect. You know, like I said earlier, it was only my second year in high school. So, you know, with our testing that we have to do quarterly, she in ninth grade scored at like a 12th grade level. You know, so I had said, I was elected, you're going to teach me. You know, I'd like to think my skills have improved a little bit after 10 years, but Lexi's still smarter than I am with the words.
Sue Ellen, speaking of writing, the letter that we received from Lexi was like a message in a bottle. And you selected to write the response. And so when people pick up Dear Freedom Writer, they'll read Lexi's letter, Perpetual Patient, and they will read your response. And so what was that like to know in your gut that someone who was struggling with mental health needed to hear and it gets better, needed to see and feel the light in a dark tunnel?
It was a relief, and I knew she was going to feel that relief, but there was a worry inside of me because how do you see the best side of having a mental illness or see the good side of that? It's really hard because it was kind of sad. And it was a reality check for me too, because the idea of being a perpetual patient, that's something that you're going to have to deal with for the rest of your life. And I was like, worried because I didn't know how to see the bright side of that. And I've had to come to terms with it myself that I will always be under the care of a psychiatrist, of a therapist. I will always have that triage team that I could go to help. And that idea is very overwhelming, knowing that you will forever be a patient. And so I found a lot of depression. I could relate in that sadness of like, is it going to get better? Is it always going to be this way? Is it every day going to be this way? And the truth is, yeah. But the truth is that I'm not alone in it. And so that was my response was, yes, every day you're going to have to drive this road. Every day you're going to have to do this. But you're not alone. The idea that you're not alone is that safety and that healing part and the beautiful part of having people that care about you so much that they would be willing to advocate for you. That's a gift. That's a gift that not everybody has.
Narada, you and Sue Ellen represent that first generation. Oftentimes you refer to yourselves as the OGs. And with that original group of freedom writers, sadly, people have dealt with suicide ideation. People have dealt with depression. People have struggled with their mental health. But luckily, we've never lost an OG to suicide. And so in the loss of Lexi, this hit you hard. So can you explain to the listeners why this hit you so hard?
Ever since the Freedom Writer's Diary was done, that was our goal as kids in high school, to inspire and pass the baton, to carry on the legacy of inspiring youth. We've had great ups, and even in the downs, we still came up over the years, but never had we lost one of our own to suicide. It rocked us. When we met at the symposium, I know for me, Lexi had this light about her, this energy about her. The vibes were so good there. And every time she smiled or every time she got up and said something, she was just so full of life. And a lot of us wondered, like, we questioned ourselves still. Did we do our job? We fail. In Freedom Writer Land, we don't really fail anybody. We roll with the punches. We find ways to help. That's what we've been doing for a bit of almost 30 years. But to have somebody gone, one of us, like this, it's devastating.
Octavia, you and Megan, like so many of the teachers across the world, have really seen a difference in the last 2 years because of this pandemic, because of mass shootings and politics. And so as an educator, have you seen a turn with depression in the last 2 years at an unprecedented level that we might not have seen before?
Yes, I have. When we returned to school, I noticed that, and I teach ninth grade, so I noticed that a lot of the ninth grade students, they weren't quite ready for being back in school. It was a very difficult year for them. A lot of them were struggling with depression simply because everything that they used to know had changed so much. I have ninth grade students that had to work because their parents lost their jobs during COVID. I've had kids that family separated during COVID. And so just noticing that, I would do my best to try to build those relationships as early as possible so that they know that they had a safe space when they needed to talk to someone.
Leilani, Lexi was like your big sister, and being at home, not in school, living in Paterson, New Jersey, and then you get this beautiful big sister, Lexi, who wants to help you make up for all of that time when you were at home, all of that time that you couldn't give hugs, all of that time that you had to socially isolate. So what has that been like for you, getting all of that love and now missing some of that love?
When COVID started, it was a time where me and my classmates were going to middle school. And we all saw each other on a screen, but we never spoke to each other after school or on the weekends. We never hung out. Everyone just started doing their own thing. So when we all came back, and even during online, everyone's just like way of like being their self all changed. And everyone that had like that clique that all hung out together just all broke apart. So, you know, when I was introduced to the Freedom Writers, I was just so afraid of talking with anybody because it was hard for me to talk with my classmates who I've known for years. And I was afraid to talk to people I just met. But, you know, Lexi, just from the first day, she just showed me what a family really is. Like, it doesn't matter what age, race, nothing. Everyone's family. And to have someone like her was just truly an honor. And then when she told me that she lived in Long Island, it just brought my joy up more because, you know, like, we were so close. She was just one of those people that if I was struggling with school or anything, she'd always be like, do you need help? Do you need help? And like how I said, I was going through middle school and it's just a tough time for me. And she was one of those people that I truly trusted from just the beginning. And that's hard for everyone because, like, you know, people, when they're struggling through things, most people don't want to express their feelings. They just want to keep it to themselves. And then that's what affects their health. But they're just so afraid because they don't know what people can think and they don't know how people can judge them. But Alexi was just one of those people that from the start, you knew she wasn't going to judge you. And you knew that you could express anything to her and she would never judge you.
Alex, what I love that Lexi did in every book that she signed was she had a little code. She wrote B, B-E, and if you turned it upside down, it was the code for letter 39 in Dear Freedom Writer. So she often wrote something to the effect of B-U and stories heal. And what I love about seeing you after the book was released is I think your story started healing your family, even though your story was about a time when your family was broken. And when I think of Lexi writing Be You and Stories Heal, that's what's happening in your family. So did Lexi write something special in your book, or did Lexi say something to you that gave you the courage to go back to your mother and father and celebrate you?
When we were getting our book signed, we hadn't gotten to the point of signing on our pages. I think it was more on the front covers, but she was the first student author that I met. I walked into this symposium with long hair and a beard and not wearing my name tag because I wanted people's authentic response. I was getting anxious because I look like a teacher, so no one was talking to me. And the first person that sat on my table was Lexi's mom. And then Lexi joined us and she said hi and she smiled. And I think what she transferred in that moment was that unconditional love that you guys were talking about. She was just so genuine. And, you know, our conversation was getting to know each other. And I think it's a sweet moment that I won't forget.
I think all of the moments all of you are describing are simple moments that in retrospect are anything but simple. Because what I think a lot of you don't realize is that Lexi really struggled with social anxiety. So Megan, to see that transformation of the 14-year-old girl who was brought into your class and the young woman who joined us when this book was launched, tell our listeners about that transformation.
When Lexi started, she would barely make eye contact with anybody else in the room. She refused to go to the cafeteria, and the staff knew we had to kind of corral her back to where she was supposed to go. So to see her in her glory at the symposium, dancing at the makeshift prom and wobbling, I can't believe it's the same person. It really was like two totally different people, but she was so in her element at that symposium. She was so confident and free and truly herself.
So, and I think a lot of people would say the same thing about you. There's the Sue Ellen behind closed doors, and then there's the Sue Ellen who puts on a face. You know, we just for the first time saw you wobble at a Freedom Writer event. So for someone who does struggle with feeling joy, what is that like when you feel like you have to fake it? Because people may not accept the fact that you're not feeling up.
I struggle with a social anxiety. And so things with large crowds give me quite a bit of anxiety. So as a freedom writer, when I'm not really happy, when I'm freaking out, I have to wear a mask. And sometimes it's faking it until I make it. That's my reality, though.
Alexis, you talked about the symposium. We gave you guys a task of creating a public service announcement. And I know that Leilani was in your group and it was our favorite. What gave you the courage to do that? Because everyone that was in your PSA were the student authors and they all brought something to the table through your leadership.
We all went to my room and we thought what are we going to do? They only give us so much time. And I said, okay, let's slow down. Let's think about which story we're going to focus on because we can't do all of them. And so then they said, well, we want to do yours. And in that moment, my heart was kind of shifted because they all have a story. They all have a voice. And so I said, okay, let's take the word divorce and let's show this world when we have felt this. And it was just kind of like this harmonious like construction of who we are in our way of saying we love each other and we love our stories and we want the world to see all of our faces, even though they only saw our shoes. And so I think that's where that idea came from.
Leilani, when he says, me thinking of them and we love each other, I think that's what you and the student authors are doing now in Lexi's loss. You are checking on people. You are calling people. You are making sure they're okay. And every single time you guys connect, you always say, I love you. It's so beautiful. So tell me about what that's been like for you at 13 years old to make a deliberate intention to say, I love you.
When we had our Zoom calls before the symposium, we only knew a couple of each other. But, you know, when we went to the symposium, that's when we all met each other. And, you know, just from those 4 days, we all just gotten so close. And it just still shocks me that, you know, we only met each other in person for only 4 days, but we all have gotten so close and we're all here just every single day texting, just like a little, I love you. It just makes a difference for all of us.
You know, Tava, you and your wonderful husband, Steve, you know, really shook me at the funeral. This was very personal for you. So being at that funeral service, I think added a layer for you, not just as a professional educator, but a professional parent. And so what has that been like now to look for signs and to understand maybe what we didn't understand with Lexi?
Well, you know, with my youngest son, Lee, he has had and still has suicide ideation. And so seeing Lexi laid out and not physically present with us anymore, it really got next to me because, you know, at one point my mind was imagining my own child laid out. And it's terrifying. As educators, we always want to fix the problem. And as an educator and a mother, I do not have the ability to fix his problems. Lee and my aunt came down to Pennsylvania from New York the day before Lexi's viewing. And so I've been doing my best to talk to him and letting him know that, you know, I'm here for you, that we need you here. And just hoping that the message and seeing the pain that I've experienced and my husband through Lexi, you know, that he would at least think about that before he makes such a final decision. We've talked about it and he is going to go back to therapy, which is a blessing. And I'm hoping that helps. But the bottom line is, you know, you never know where a person's head is at. So I think, again, just giving them the love and all the support that you can is all anyone can do. And I know that Nancy did that with Lexi as well.
I think that is love in action, Octavia. What our listeners might not know is one of the largest groups who are affected by suicide is the LGBTQIA community. So I love that you and your amazing husband are leading with love. And I know it's been a struggle. So I love that you are walking the walk, not just talking the talk. Speaking of walking the walk, Narada, you walked up those stairs leading into Anne Frank's attic on August 4th, the day that Anne Frank was captured. And sadly, when we read Anne Frank, she was no longer with us. And some of your Freedom Writer brothers and sisters made a correlation to how it felt reading Anne Frank's story, knowing that she didn't survive. And the same way it felt going back and reading Diary 39, and Lexi didn't survive. But Anne Frank was a muse to so many of us. So how can Lexi be a muse to others?
What we learned about Anne is she did make it. And it's the same thing for Lexi, because for the rest of our lives, for however long this movement goes, Lexi Rodriguez's story is there in these pages. And just as Anne Frank had Meep Geese tell her story, it's our duty to do the same for Lexi now, to let people know that she made it. She might not be here physically, but those words and that struggle and that fight, we now have the privilege to tell people about Lexi. We have to take it as a call to action, because that's what Lexi wanted us to do. So that's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. That brings me to my last question for all of you. And it's just that, Narada, it's the call to action. I think we collectively are also blessed with a burden. And that burden is to turn that empathy and compassion into a call to action. So in no particular order, I'm going to ask you all to think of someone and what is your call to action for them? How do we use this story to do good?
This one hits home, obviously, but my sister Sue, I need you. I need you always. So the call of action for you is to live and to be here. Selfishly for me, but for everybody else, because as a body, we're freedom riders, but Ella, you are the soul. And I've told you this, we can't beat us without you. And your importance, even on the days where you look in the mirror and you don't want to do anything, I've seen your ups and I've seen your downs, and I've seen you still fight. Even when you don't want to, I see you. I see you. You're not a quitter. So that's the call.
I'll go next. My call to action as I sit right here is going to be to the staff I work with. This loss hit hard. And Narada, hearing you say that it wasn't a failure to see that Lexi's not with us, because I felt like a failure, like I failed her. And I think I just need to say to the people I work with, like, look at what we do. We take that kid that's in the darkest part of whatever they're going through, we get them to dance. You know, it's not a failure. And I think we need to be reminded of that, because we do get knocked down when we have these setbacks. We've had so many successes and we have to focus on that. So I think that's who I need to reach out to.
Can I go next? My call to action is to every kid that struggles with a mental illness, every kid out there, especially my niece, Andy. And this past weekend, it was a struggle to wake up, wash my face, brush my teeth, take my medication. And every time I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I kept on thinking about Lexi. I kept on thinking about people like me. The reality is we can never take a rest on taking care of ourselves. That is such a key part to keep on living. So the days that I struggle to do those simple things, I think of all the blessings. I think of all the things I have to live for. And I think of people like Lexi. I think of people like my niece. I think of the students that we reach and we touch, and so many people out there that are hurting, that are afraid to stand up and say that they have a mental illness, that they're struggling. You have to do whatever you need to do to take care of yourself. And sometimes I struggle with it, but I know if I'm ahead of it, it'll help me keep me in a good place.
To the community, I would say, be empathetic. Don't be judgmental. Give the support that the person needs. Don't just walk by someone and you see them scowling or frowning or sad. Take a moment, stop, because it could make all the difference in the world. It could save someone's life. The other thing is, to my son, Lee, we need you to live. We need you here because you are the epitome of empathy and compassion and love. And so if you're not here, so many people are going to miss out on the gift that you have to offer. So live, thrive, and go forth and do what God has called you to do.
I think at first I was thinking a call to action to leaders in general, but I think we all really are making a call to action to leaders, you know, whether it's the person who's struggling and them leading themselves or allowing people to lead them or teachers or staff. And so I think to be more specific, I think my call to action would be to parents, to continue to love, but also to continue to not be scared to be loved either. Just because they're leaders doesn't mean that they always have to lead. They could be led too. Because I think children, the way Megan said, that no one has taught her as much as Lexi did, is I think a lot of children teach how to be parents, ironically.
I just want to say thank you, Alex, Leilani. As a parent, and I have said this the other night, as a parent, when your kid has to go through something, it could be a cold, it could be a bully at school. You're worried for your kid and how they're going to handle things. And, you know, you're like, oh, if I could turn into a kid, I'll defend you because that's who you are. You know, your mama bear, your papa bear, don't anybody mess with my kids and stuff. And then the magic happens is you get to see how strong and how willed your kids are. So then you get to see what you've put into them in action. So for you guys, my little brothers and sisters and the rest of our new family here, I'm in awe of all of you because us older ones, all we kept thinking about were you guys. We are hurting, but we were thinking, what about the kids? How are the kids are going to handle it? To hear that you guys are reaching out and have been reaching out and checking on each other. You guys have your own separate Zooms. You guys have been there for one another. It's a great feeling knowing a legacy is in great hands. And in times of despair, you get to see who your family is. You get to see who's really strong, who's really there for you. And it warms my heart to have you guys here and to have you do what you do and just be yourself.
Lexi is such an integral part of the Freedom Rider family and is dearly missed. In Lexi's honor, we will continue her legacy by becoming beacons of hope for those who share Lexi's struggles. May each of us heed these powerful calls to action and fight for mental health parity. On the forefront of fighting for mental health parity is the college that Lexi just graduated from, Nassau Community College in Long Island, New York. As a tribute, Nassau Community College will be sharing Lexi's legacy this fall when the college embarks on reading Dear Freedom Rider as a community project. First year students will have the opportunity to read, discuss, and have their own personal call to action. We honor them for honoring her legacy. In addition, together with Lexi's family, her mother Nancy, her father David, and her sister Brianna, the Freedom Riders Foundation has created the Lexi Rodriguez Memorial Scholarship to honor Lexi's legacy. Please click on the link in this episode's show notes to learn more about the scholarship fund. That concludes our show this week. Thank you so much for listening and being part of our Freedom Rider family. If you or someone you know is struggling, I strongly encourage you to reach out to a trusted therapist, a caring counselor, or a faithful friend. More than anything, please remember that you are not alone. Help is available now by calling 988 or 1-800-273-TALK. Once again, 1-800-273-8255. This hotline is free, it is confidential, and it is a lifeline. Once again, I'm your host, Erin Gruel. This episode was produced and edited by Matt Martin Hall and Rob Falk. Until next time, dear listeners, may you write what needs to be written and tell what needs to be told.